July 29th, 2015. It's Watt from Pedro Show. From desert?
All the way from Joshua Tree.
Right. Miscalculated a little bit on the time. That was Opelousas.
Yeah, Opelousas. That was on my first record.
From way back, right.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off with John Coltrane,
1962,
doing Chasing the Train.
Oh, how nice.
What's your first memory of music?
My first memory of music? First memory of music. It would probably have been at the church.
So you were a little girl, maybe.
As a little girl. And then there was...
So singing?
Choir.
Yeah.
Singing. Yeah. And then my daddy, he sang.
Oh, he's a musician. Yeah, okay.
He liked to sing. He played the clarinet, too. But he mostly he sang.
Liquor stick.
Yeah.
And where's this?
That's in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was kind of a family thing. And the church.
Yeah.
I know a lot of old rock and rollers started singing in the church.
Yeah.
Important.
Yeah.
Place. So, you were a little girl, right? You remember first songs you would sing? They're hymns?
I guess I would just be singing like...
with everybody else in the big choir, right?
Yeah, choir. People singing Closer to Thee and what else? Some song about the bird way up high. I can't remember.
It's a little while ago. So, what about records or radio? When did that happen?
Well, I used to listen to the radio.
Yeah.
My dad's radio would come off in the morning. We'd wake up, hear it, and it was like a country station. It was some kind of radio show, and somebody would go, "Wonderful world, wonderful world." And it was like a talk radio show.
Okay.
And then they sang like kind of country music on that channel, so I liked that.
Did your pop have records? You guys have a record player?
He had a record player. He was into big band stuff.
Yeah, of course, clarinet. Yeah.
And then my mom, she was into like opera stuff.
Also used to hear that.
Oh, yeah. We'd hear opera, like when we'd have to work out in the yard, clean the yard. She would open the windows of the house. And they would play that on Saturday. They'd play the opera over the PBS radio. So I would do faux opera. That kind of business.
The other is kind of Italian. So that's probably when you first got going with singing.
Singing,
okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember in school, did you do any of that kind of music?
Well, in school, they used
sometimes
to have...
Sometimes they give you an instrument.
Yeah, they did. They in school, I remember playing the claves. And I remember songs like, "Low bridge, everybody down. Low bridge, because you're coming to a town." You know that?
You play the clave, do it?
I got them, you. Geek, geek. My name is Sal. 15 miles on the Erie Canal.
Okay.
I don't know why we'd sing that Erie Canal down in Louisiana, but it was in the music book.
School.
Yeah. You know, they don't have music in school anymore.
That's why Flea started that conservatory in Silver Lake.
That was a really good...
Because he went back to Fairfax where he did trumpet. They didn't have the program anymore.
Didn't have any program.
Thought it was terrible. And so he started that up.
I was a really...
But so did they give you an instrument, though? But because we're talking about the waves back, not that nowadays, yeah.
Oh, way like...
Because I remember they'd have us... They also had us doing even weird dancing. Did you have dancing, Brother Man?
Yeah, yeah. Mayday dance.
Cajun two-step. I remember learning
that. Yeah, we had that in school.
In school. And I think that's really good for people's developmental... situation,
sure.
You know, being able to interact with each other. And yeah, that really bumped me out when they quit having music in school. I used to teach, when I lived in L.A., I taught at two different schools because I had friends who were school teachers, and they'd have me come in and teach music And I like doing that. Yeah.
But they had to, like, bring you in because they don't have a program.
They didn't have a program, no. I was a volunteer.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Do you remember, making a band, playing with people in school back then?
In fifth grade, I had a band with my best friend.
Okay.
We were the Gurgles. G-U-R-G-L-E-S. The Gurgles.
And what, did you play guitar?
We just sang.
Just singer?
Yeah, it was really stupid. Okay. We would sing Beatles songs with S at the beginning.
Beatles songs with S at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
What do you mean all the words had an S?
No, we'd make them have S.
Yeah, you make them have S.
Oh,
my God. Let's play some music.
Thank you. your brother, gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to uncover all of your diamonds, girl, cause they're all inside. Baby, when he puts you above, I'm gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to uncover all of your diamonds, girl, cause they're all inside.
He was my spa, my elevator, up and out. I couldn't see anybody else. Laura, let me remind you that you had your doubt, and when he left you, just blamed yourself. The field died, I saw right down the line. Well, that's too much, too soon. You still got your own rocks to shine.
Baby, when he puts you above, I'm gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to uncover all of your diamonds.
Yeah. hungry for blood, life and limb. The sharks knew were better than you and him. And all the while, the sharks knew why. Don't cross the lady from Shanghai. Killed already a Franco spy. Didn't help your chances at the trial. Now you're walking your last mile, shaved and dry. You know why? You don't cross the lady from Shanghai.
you've ever worked in a record store that's not a big chain place, you know it is a magnet for freaks in every city. A buddy of mine from Colorado had a story about a patron who loved music, but was almost impossible to please. He would go to the clerks and talk to them about the music they were playing and tell them what he loved about it. And, well, like any record store clerk, they were stoked. Because that's what every record store clerk wants, to play his own music and have customers come in and learn about it and love it. So when this guy would tell them what he liked about this band or that, they would suggest, you know, music for him to buy. The problem was, he only listened to Black Sabbath. Not knowing it was such an obstacle, the clerk said, "Oh, of course, yeah, I like Black Sabbath too. But if you like the way this Born Against record sounds, you should check out Born Against." The guy dug in. "No, you don't get it. I only listen to Black Sabbath." So our clerks were at a bit of a crossroads, as this guy clearly liked music that wasn't Black Sabbath, but just wouldn't accept any band that wasn't Black Sabbath. So they did what any music-loving and enterprising record store clerk would do: burn CDs for this guy, saying they were Black Sabbath records, and then putting the album title as whatever the band actually was. And he loved it. He loved Black Sabbath's My Bloody Valentine. He loved Black Sabbath's Husker Du. And everybody loves Black Sabbath's quintessential The Melvins. And for a year or so, that's how it went. He kept coming in, getting more music, and telling these guys what he loved about all the stuff he'd been acquiring. And then one day, he walked in with a shoebox, standing in the doorway, scowling at them, and threw it on the counter and screamed, "I'm not fucking stupid!" Apparently, he had met another Black Sabbath fan who maybe called him out on being an idiot because Black Sabbath didn't use Moogs or have female vocalists or any sort of the things that he had come to appreciate. And he was humiliated. He felt like he was part of a joke. And nothing could be farther from the truth. These guys just wanted to help him like music. And they were gutted because this guy felt a fool, and all they wanted to do was help him. So, like I said earlier, when you are in the record store, it is a freak magnet. The bad thing is, you can't go find the freaks when you want to correct something. You just have to wait there for them to come to you. So weeks turn into months, and many months go by where they don't see this guy, and they're saddled and resigned to the notion that they are just dicks in his eyes. And then, one day out of the blue, he shows up. And in a year that goes by, these guys would have been comforted to have seen him. Yet, when he returned, they weren't so comfortable because he didn't say anything. He skulked around the store, occasionally peeking up at them, leaving them to wonder, did he come back to exact his revenge? Is there a crossbow hidden under his coat? Is this the revenge of Black Sabbath? He wandered around the store looking in sections that Black Sabbath couldn't be in. J, M, T. What was he doing? Then he quietly approached the counter, avoiding eye contact, and sheepishly said, "Oh, hey guys, I've been out of town for a little while, and I was just kind of wondering, have there been any new Black Sabbath records?" You see, not all my tales end in mischief and fuckery and shit getting set on fire. There's a story with a happy ending, and I love it.
call in your heart. It's your echo. No one else's.
like somebody thought they would, thought they would. What kind of song would you give if you had a song to give? What kind of life would you live if you had a life to live? Now, wouldn't you want to make something good that you could look on and it give you lots of pleasure? Yeah, you would. What about this thing that you gave? What if it weren't quite perfect? What if there was something bad about it? Would you still love it just the same? Would you still care about it? The lights on the city look so good, almost like somebody thought they would, thought they would.
Before that, we had Brother, Sister, Daughter doing the Echo of Your Heart. Bob Schreiner ahead of that, Black Sabbath. The bit, the comedy bit, not the band. Danskable 15, Kyoka ahead of that, The Annoying and the Greedy by Can-Can Heads. Sisu Band with If You Don't Cry. Tad Falco ahead of that with Lady from Shanghai. Diamonds Girl from El May. Tom Tobacco with Demon Practice. Ahead of that, Many Birthdays, Brand New. Flash in the Dark. Pastiche for D from Solanke. And starting it off, Petra Hayden with Satellite. So musically, what happened after the girls? Gurgles.
Well, I went into high school and then I I started taking drugs in a high school, which I started playing guitar though too. And we should back up. Before the gurgles, I took piano lessons.
Okay.
When I was in grammar school from Miss Fitz. And
did you like it?
I liked it. But I'm not like, I have a better ear than reading. I mean, I can read, but I'm slow reading. And, I'm not a fast reader. And I always thought it was like a disconnect between reading and just playing and just hearing. And so, when I left the piano for years, and when I went back to it, I just went back to it as a totally different beast. I don't read at all. I just play by ear, kind of.
Yeah.
That's how.
They never let kids play that way, though. They always make them read.
Yeah, that's how to do it. And
it usually turns people off. Most people I know that learned piano as a kid hated it.
Yeah.
Some come back, but it's on their own. Right, with Toko Honda. We had to go to CalArts and learn like avant-garde to like piano.
Yeah,
she couldn't do the classical because all the bad experience.
All of it. Oh, yeah.
So, you weren't writing tunes yet, were you, when you were taking those piano lessons?
No, but I had a little cigar box. I wrote poems.
Okay.
I wrote thoughts.
Yeah.
Big thoughts. And
did you put those to music?
I didn't. I just, at that point, I just had them in my secret place.
Yeah.
Anyway, in high school, I was going out with someone who got into drugs, and I guess I was doing drugs, too. And he got put into prison. And so then there was no more drugs. And I met some people who lived out in the country, and everybody played music and wrote songs. And that's what I started doing, just hanging out with these people out there.
So there was a scene.
In East Texas, and we'd stay up all night long jamming music and making up songs, and that was a great period for me.
That's what got you kind of going into music.
Mm-hmm. That's actually when I wrote Opelousas way back then. That's okay. A really old song.
Want to give some of those people credit? Can you remember?
Let's see, T-Bone Kelly and who else? Paul Maines, Randy Gwines. You know, I played shows last summer with Randy Gwines. He came out with this fiddle player from Louisiana, and I said, I have some shows up in Seattle, and they drove out, and we drove up and did 6 shows up there. That was
interesting. From all those time back, right?
Well, actually, I pulled out one of the old G.W. Corner songs, and that was kind of fun.
Wow. So, when did you start, like, playing outside that little group of people?
Well, I'd say when I left and went to California, and I started playing on the streets in Venice, and I played it on Hoot Nights at the Troubadour.
Okay.
That was like on Monday nights. And then
what made you pick LA?
Well,
to go there.
My this band had come down with this man, Tom Ayers. They were called Levi and the Rockettes. They wanted to play the Louisiana Hayride, and I was...
They were at the Mask, you know.
They were?
Yeah, that was a band that practiced at the Mask, believe it or not.
Well...
There was a lot of rockabilly bands in the punk scene, but there were some in Levi and the Rockettes.
Yeah, Levi and the Rockettes, and then it became, I think, Levi and the Ripcords, maybe. But the ones that showed up and played it in Louisiana, I was playing at the Louisiana Hayride, kind of opening for Michael Grady, and they said, you should come out to Hollywood.
Okay. Just like in the movies. Right, just like in the movies. You got to go to Hollywood.
That's what they said. And then
I think that's where they lived.
That's what they lived. And so when they had kind of a manager guy that was from Shreveport. I had never met him before that time. So I rode with him back out to Hollywood.
Damn.
Yeah.
Just like that, how old were you?
God, I was... At that point, I was maybe just... I just turned 18, so I was finally not a minor. But then I got out to California. They put a big old M on my hand, and I was like, oh, now I'm a minor again.
Oh, yeah, because 21.
Yeah, I was 21 in California, yeah.
So you had to get into... You know, we're at the end of the first hour. July 29th, 2015, Dish and Wap, Pedro Show, Brother Matt, our guest, and Carl Williams. Hold tight for hour 2. July 29th, 2015, it's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show. Here's another tune from Victoria.
Walk through fields of tall golden grass, see the sky and the puddles like a looking glass. Red-tailed hawk soars high overhead, and the sky in the west turned crimson red. Make sure you take it all in. Take a ride on slow summer wind. Hold it long as you can. Don't tell no one where you've been. Moonlight shadows, song of the night. The sky is a sea of flickering starlight. Through tunnels of darkness, patches of day, I hear the wind start howling and carry it away. Make sure you take it all in. Take a ride on a slow summer wind. Hold it long. Don't tell no one where you been. No, don't tell no one.
Mañana voy a ser más joven que hoy. Mañana va a salir el sol. Mañana todo el mundo va a estar mejor. Mañana llego a donde voy. Ayer estaban todos, hoy ya no están. Ayer estábamos tan bien. Ayer no había motivos para dudar. Ayer todo podía ser. Hoy está nublado otra vez. Hoy no tengo nada que hacer. Hoy me dejó mi mujer. Hoy con suerte tengo que comer. Thank you.
Yeah, Walk for Pedro show. We started the second hour off. Victoria Williams doing right on the air here. Take it all in. What was it? GW.
Corners with a K.
Corners with a K song.
Yeah. K-O-R-N-E-R-S.
And then we had Void from Superchunk, Golden Grease, Banditos after that. Dynasty Handbag from Edith. Petra turned me on that, but I guess she's Tanya's friend.
Oh, yeah. This lady? Yeah, no, I hadn't.
Chibs or something like this.
I'd like to know.
Well, I'm just learning to. Theme from Hobo Combo, Waiting for Measures, King Champion Sounds. Divigicion. Temporal. Also, it must be Espanol. Okay. Divigacion, that's what it is. Temporal. Las Humberstones. Oh, I remember I called them Humberstones, but they say Humberstones.
Oh.
Sometimes sound like Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah.
They're chilly guys. They're cool people. Big Daddy Rides Again, Cosmo Jones, Beat Machine out of, that's out of Finland. And finally, Tom Kaufman with Little Piece on Big Piano. So you go to Hollywood. What was that like?
Wow. It was wild. Punk stuff was happening.
Yeah.
I met Miss Mercy. Miss Mercy, you know, from the GTO.
Yeah, sure.
And she took me out to the church because there was a Louisiana woman singing. And, you know, because she was married to, well, she had Shuggy Otis's kid, Lucky. And that she brought me out to the church. And then they asked for choir members. So I joined the choir, the Landmark Community Church, which was Johnny Otis's church.
Sure.
So I would take the bus down there.
I went and visited him in Altadena.
Yeah, he did a big interview with Johnny Otis. Yeah, maestro.
But Matt used to have a radio show on KXLU called The Blues Shift, so he met a lot of these cats.
Yeah, oh, man, nice. Yeah.
So you joined the choir.
Yep. And Etta was there sometimes, Etta James.
Yeah.
Both of them are gone now. They both died really short time between each other, just recently. I was sad to see that, but I did.
But they were up in years.
They were up in the years, and Etta had gotten pretty sick, so she's probably it's a good thing she's relieved now.
Yeah. So besides doing the choir, you said you were also busking, like on the boardwalk.
Yeah, on the boardwalk in Venice Beach, and that's where I.
An open mic night at the Troubadour.
Open mic at Troubadour. And that's where I got asked to do my first record deal. Somebody who heard me playing on the beach. And
really?
Yep.
Somebody asked you to do a record hearing you playing at the beach.
Yep. And they gave me a contract. And I had met somebody in New York when I had gone to New York. And I sent them the contract. He said, don't sign that. That's like what they give people in the 50s, it's a very bad contract. And then he said, why don't you make up a tape and send it to me? So I made up a tape. At that point, I was playing my Vox Continental organ, and I sent it to him. And
you were playing an organ on the beach?
No. Okay. On the beach, I was playing the guitar.
Yeah.
So what year was that?
And I had a pig nose amp with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Brother Matt's asking
what year?
Yeah,
around when?
That's like the early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 30 years ago.
So it's like Ted Hawkins is on the beach.
Ted Hawkins was out there, yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Ted Hawkins, Uncle Bill was out there.
Yeah, Uncle Bill, yeah.
Oh, man.
Butch Mudbone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Butch Mudbone, heck yeah. Oh, man. You know them all.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't have you on my show back then.
Yeah. Wow.
Well,
I did go. You know what? I had a tragedy happen at one point where, I had met these people and I was singing at their birthday party in the park in Santa Monica. You know, and I had a 1941 Martin D18, and I was singing. And anyways, at this point I had gotten a car. I had a car, and so they asked me to give them a ride home to their place. And I got to their place, and I look back there. They're taking their picnic basket stuff, and I go, well, where's my guitar? He goes, oops, I took it out. I must have left it in the street. And I was like, what? And so I really freak out. I went back there. I start screaming, where's my police? Bring my guitar back! And I'm screaming. The police come. They go, honey, you got to check the pawn shops. You know, you can't. Nobody's going to just bring that guitar back. And I still never found that guitar.
We call that a donate. That's a big time donate. Anyway, you got the organ at the pad you're staying at, probably, and you made a tape with it.
Oh yeah, I had it. Yeah, and I made the tape
and
with.
Sent it to New York.
And I sent that to the guy in New York, and he sent it to this guy at Rough Trade Records in. And that guy wanted to make a record with me. And
England guy, right?
England.
Jeff Travis.
And so he ended up sending me on a tour, even though I hadn't made the record yet, opening for Jonathan Richman.
Oh, yeah.
And
Grass Valley.
Jonathan Richman, he lives in Grass Valley? Well, I was just listening here to Utah Phillips on the car on the way over here. You know, he's from Nevada City, which is next
that
to Grass
far,
Valley.
Yeah.
I knew Utah Phillips. He wanted to record one of my songs, the train song. Yeah,
okay.
But he died. He never did it.
Jonathan was here about a year ago. Was he?
Yeah, playing gigs. I've done some gigs with him. He's a tripper.
He's a trip, isn't he? What a trip.
Anyway, you went on tour with him. Did he take the bus? Because, you know, he used to, like, ride the Greyhound and the band would be in the van.
No, we
he's
were
got a
all
song about that where he was going to take the bus and the van. Yeah, he didn't like the van.
He probably didn't like that. I don't think he liked the van. We were in a van when we were on the tour. I remember riding around the Nordic countries. And
oh, it was a Europe tour.
Yeah, it was all Europe. It was a Europe tour, yeah. And I didn't have a record out. I had really never even played in a proper venue at that point. Yeah. So
you were just thrown to the wild.
I was.
Yeah.
Did
you like it? And then you made a record for Jeff.
Yeah. Well, I started to make a record for Jeff. And then, you know, I had met Peter, and he is first going to make his record. And I was in there with him while he was making his record with T-Bone Burnett. And
I saw him play bass in Nerves.
He did.
Yeah, with The Last.
Wow.
They were great.
You mean
at
recently? Recently that he, the
oh,
Nerves
this
recently?
Like in 78 or
oh, okay, yeah.
77, 78.
Because I had heard that maybe they'd done another.
There was a little record I had by him. It had four songs on it.
Recent record.
I think each guy wrote a song. Because all three of them were kind of like leaders.
Yeah, they're all leaders.
They ended up doing their own bands.
Man.
Jack and Paul, the drummer, was. Yeah.
I knew after the Plimsolls. But then when we were together,
he decided
that he wanted to be solo. He didn't want to be in the Plimsolls.
Sure, he made that record with T-Bone.
Yeah, and he made that record with T-Bone. And then at that point, somebody from Geffen came in there and said, we'd like to put your record out on Geffen. And I thought, oh, probably that's better than, you know, Rough Trade. I probably thought, you know, but I had no idea that, you know, that was really crazy. But I did it. I did it for Geffen.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Sonic Youth is on GIF.
Yeah, were they?
So tons of poses to it.
Yeah.
Brother Matt, what about the spin cycle? We got something coming up?
Oh, yeah, ready to roll.
Because Troy's going to jam with you.
Cool.
So let's get this going.
Cool, I got a little Petra to start it off.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun.
Wasted time, that's the knowledge the other lost. was the way she felt when she saw him at the dressing room door. She was happier than she'd ever been.
us. It's hard just being away from what keeps us apart. In the past, remember, a time like this was something you looked forward to.
Maybe he went to get some plastic shoes. Maybe he went to get some funny sunglasses. Maybe he went to get
so much.
Thank you. Elliot and Victoria, thank you very
much. Right. Elliot there jamming over the Meat Puffs. Before that, Victoria jamming with, what you just done, Brother Matt?
Well, start off with some Petra, because I've been hearing about Petra a bit tonight and lately, so it's always good to have some Petra in there.
She told me I could sing on it. She said, don't worry, you're going to sing. And so then, but then when I couldn't sing,
we're gonna have you sing.
I didn't want to mess her up. It's so beautiful, her voice.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
And then just kind of got in the desert mode a little bit. Got to have Meat Puffs if you're in the desert mode.
Right. Yeah, but you were playing guitar to that one cat.
There's Tom Watson was also in there. And Where's Bill, the camper van Beethoven?
But the other tune, she was vamping on the chords.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Alvin.
Oh, right. The Alvin Brothers.
I remember
Brothers.
That
song. That was very cool.
I remember that.
I love those guys. Yeah, they did Big Bill Brunzi. So that was something special, little disc pressing.
That's right, something from the Grammy.
Yeah, I saw them up at the Grammy Museum. Saw Mavis there last week. That was great.
You did?
Yeah.
Did she do a show?
Well, she
got the Woody Guthrie Award, so people who kind of keep that Woody Guthrie civil rights spirit alive, and so they have these neat little shows. They got a little tiny theater there, like 200 seat theater, and they'll have like an interview, then they'll have a little question and answer with the audience, and then they'll usually do like a set. So as I saw Mavis last week, I saw Phil and Dave a couple months back. Yeah, Taj Mahal.
Oh, that was a great one. Yeah, he's so great.
Yeah,
he was just on the radio. I just heard him on, like, on the NPR. You were talking to public radio. Heard Taj.
Cool.
I think he lives in Hawaii now.
Yeah, he's on Kauai. His wife's artist great. Over there, I think.
Oh,
yeah. Used to see him on the beach in the Niihi's, playing on the beach.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so good.
Did you ever see this TV show? The Rolling Stones wouldn't let it come out at the time, but it was like their show.
The rock and roll circuit.
Yeah. And he opens up the gig.
Right.
Dressed as a cowboy and shit. He's so great.
I remember seeing him dressed up as a cowboy yet.
So ain't that a lot of love? I think that's a tune.
Right there.
Boom.
Magic trick.
Yeah, the Who's on that.
Yeah.
And
Jethro Tull.
They do Quick One.
Marianne Faithfull.
Jethro Tull with the Black Sabbath guy. Wearing a felt hat. Yeah, it's this trippy thing. But Taj is so good in there.
Yeah.
Speaking of the desert, how did you end up there?
Oh, gosh. I'd go up there. My friend had a hotel up there that they had bought up in Rimrock, and I was renting a room up there, number 3, for like 3 years. It was like $300 a month, and I would just go up there to get out of L.A., Then when I got married to Mark, it was too small. So then we found
out.
Yeah, it was too small. So I was in number 4 then, but it was still too small. So we bought a house over in Joshua Tree.
So you've been there a number of years.
Long time now, really so long.
Well, I skipped ahead a little. Well, we're at the end of. We got some time. Okay. Because I skipped ahead. You made that record for Mr. Geffen.
Yes. That was called Happy Come Home.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you went and toured that with the band?
Oh, well, actually, they sent me out opening for, Randy Newman. And, he was solo, and I had, two players with me. I had, Greg Cohen and Ralph Carney. I don't know if you know either of them. Ralph plays lots of different instruments. Greg plays upright bass. We toured just Europe once again, yeah. And I didn't have a record out then either. And then I had made this record, but I ran into somebody from Warner and they said, I feel so bad about your record because, you know, they never press it onto CD. And everybody, I'd see people say, I'm going to buy your record when it comes out on CD because I'm just buying CDs now.
In those days, yeah.
In those days. And they never pressed it onto CD. And then they really never really shipped the album. And then my manager disappeared. He was also managing that guy that used to scream, Sam Kennison.
No.
And then I read in that, yeah, I read on the in that Hollywood Reporter thing that he was being fired. Sam Kennison was firing this manager I had, and I thought, well, I've got to fire this manager I have because I never did anything. I made a record. I know you're supposed to do something when you make a record. But I did get to tour Europe. That was really fun, opening for Randy Newman.
Yeah, he's a character. He played piano and sang, right?
Yeah. He was great.
He don't have a lot of overhead. Like Bob Dylan, he don't need a band either. These guys could just walk into a pad and just...
Yeah, he could just play by himself anytime. Man, that's right.
Okay, we're at the end of the second hour. July 29, 2015 edition of the Watt Show. Our guest, Victoria Williams. Hold tight for hour three. July 29, 2015 is the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
You want to tough, but still you want to fight. You keep on playing that ugly game, black and white. You got me so upset because you're so uptight. Oh, and you're never wrong because you're always right, brother.
Metro Show. Start off the third hour, Victoria Williams doing Make Your Move. She don't know why that song came to her, but it was from a 70s Louisiana band called...
The Caddo Wizard Band.
Caddo Wizard Band.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And then we heard Zsa 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 doing Ya Poini Zamiata So Smirk. Afro Argo from Militoika You Need, Tanya from Uzma Doma, and How It Goes from Labor Camp. I can pronounce that one.
Cool.
Okay.
That's
so you're doing these tours and your records ain't coming out.
No.
Kind of frustrating situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we just
so I went back
and then
to
this lame ass manager guy. You finally scissored him, right?
Yeah, I scissored him, and then I went to my second record. I went back to Rough Trade and said I was crazy to go to Geffen. I don't know what I was thinking. So I went back to Rough Trade, and then before my record came out, they went bankrupt.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
So then,
buddy of mine, Jay Maskus was on that label.
Yeah, Jay Maskus was on that label too. So then, Mammoth said, "We'll put your record out."
North Carolina label.
And so they put out, it was called Swing the Statue. That was my second record. And then...
And you actually got to tour that.
I did.
You had to go play gigs with
the
record.
I got to play gigs, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And then... They joined up with Atlantic.
Yeah.
And somehow went on to Atlantic. And then I was on Atlantic for a few records.
Okay.
I did my next record. Oh, no. Okay, here's what happened. Swing the Statue had come out, and then that record label went bankrupt. Then I got a call from this lady. She says, "I work for Neil Young." I said, "I love Neil Young." She says, "Well, apparently he loves you, too. He wants you to open for him." And so I went out opening for him, and he was doing that record, The Answer to, what was that record called? Oh, dear. Anyways.
I just saw Neil last week.
You saw Neil last week?
Yeah, Red Rocks.
Really? Oh, man.
Boulder.
Yeah, Boulder. Colorado.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did he have a band?
Yeah. Band of Horses opened for him. And then he had the band he did, that new Monsanto album.
I would like to hear some of that Monsanto record. I haven't heard it, but I'm so happy that he made it. Because I'm very anti-Monsanto.
Yeah.
He's
good
dumped DDT out here. Raw.
Oh, no.
Out here in Pedro.
You might be feeling kind of comfortable. You got your buzz going. And you might be in the kind of mood where you really don't want someone asking you to do audience participation. But just trust me on this one. At a certain point, I'm gonna scream three words that have four syllables. And then I'm going to ask you to scream right after that, everybody together. And when you hear these words, you'll know them. You've heard them your whole life. But you probably have never tried screaming them, and you won't believe how cathartically amazing it is to do it. And if we all do it together, it's going to be even more amazing because we'll just all be the same idiots together. So, you'll see when that starts to happen, it's going to be a little ways into it. And so please just, whatever you got to do, just take this opportunity. It's not every day that someone says you are allowed to scream your brains out. So I'm encouraging you to do that if you feel like it. It's sort of the opposite meditation experience of Al set, Al and Leslie set, which was very trancy and wonderful. So we'll just go and see what happens. was the phrase.
Never have another one.
Thank you.
Watch for Peter show last music. We had Stick Sellers with Girl Scout Cookies. Basho with Davey Rodriguez doing Hey You.
Hey, Basho.
And I think it's Swenson Klein, but S. Klein and R. Gangbang doing Catatonic. They're out of Canada. So, yeah, all that freaky label stuff in the 90s, and you getting swung around, and I could see you wanting to stay out in the desert.
Yeah.
My
fortunate thing happened when I was out opening for Neil Young. I was on my 23rd show.
Yeah.
And this is when I got everything just broke down, and I my hands weren't making chords, and I was like, oh, I'll just sing a cappella. So I just so much love that I was opening for Neil Young, and then Neil's tour manager said, you've got to go to the hospital to find out what's wrong with you, and so then a bunch of just hospitals
during the tour
test, yeah, and then I had to leave the tour, and then and then that's when I caught the MS, and then there's all those benefits for me, and first one in LA, and then another one in New York City, and then Mike Scott from the Waterboys, he couldn't play the benefit, and he said, if there's a record, I'll do one of her songs, and that gave them the idea to
benefit records.
Do a record of my songs, and that was really the biggest break to have all those people cut my songs.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
And it was actually other people who played. It wasn't the racket, the machine.
It was just people. The artist doing it. And then I said, artists, you know, we're like plumbers. They get together and do benefits for other plumbers, or, you know, they just, artists, musicians are always doing benefits for other artists and for other causes. And I said, I wanted to start Sweet Relief. And, with the monies that came in from the record of people cutting my songs. And so I started Sweet Relief, and that was good.
You sing that in Opelousas.
Yeah, and that's why I call it.
Does it come from that?
Yeah, that's why.
You said that's a really old song of yours.
Yeah.
So the Sweet Relief came out. Okay.
That's what, And then Geffen Pratt, they pulled out Happy Come Home and put it out on a CD. So that was cool.
They finally caught on.
That was nice.
Then there's the D.A. Pennybaker documentary of Happy Come Home.
The guy who made Don't Look Back, Bob Dylan, right?
That's true. That was really
he
nice.
He also made one about... A second one, you know that. They call it Eat the Document.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's bootlegs of it. Never Dylan would let it cut out.
Yeah, but the Scorsese movie that came out.
It's got parts in it.
It's got parts of the... He was shooting the next tour. He did a
the electric
band backing him.
The electric. Somebody yells at him in Manchester, right? Judas.
Uh-huh. Oh.
I don't believe you. He tells Robbie Robertson to turn it off.
Can you believe it?
Gosh. There was a big deal because of not playing acoustic.
Playing acoustic, right. All of a sudden he's gone electric. Like, uh-oh, they didn't like that.
It's a bad...
They wanted to pull the plug.
Bad live sound back then. They're getting all this feedback.
Right. But people kind of like that. Some people. When's that movie, Blow Up? Jeff Beck, he's got the feedback. I can imagine in the 60s, the first electric gigs and stuff. Like the Beatles playing a baseball stadium with just amps. Just their amps powering the whole stadium.
When they played in that boxing ring and they were turning the whole stage, every song played for a different corner of the crowd.
Yeah. Really funny things. So you had kind of good luck. Yeah, good break. But it ain't a good break to get MS.
No.
So it's kind of mixed bag.
Yeah, mixed bag.
Did you play guitar now?
Yeah. Sort of.
No, but did it kind of go away a little bit?
Yeah. Okay. I took a lot. I did lots of, I got to a point where I couldn't walk for a while, and then I went to this. Actually, Greg Cohen, he set me up at this to go to this doctor, who Total Wellness, and she just started connecting the muscles to the brain and getting everything coordinated again. So that's how that worked.
Connecting
out.
The muscles to the brain.
Yeah, because it would be like I would think that I could do something.
Yeah.
There was no way I could think, and then I couldn't do it. It was like, that's just crazy.
You couldn't will it.
I couldn't will it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but did you still, music, right? Did you still have the cigar box? Were you still making the tunes?
Yeah, still making the songs, yeah.
But you just couldn't execute them. You couldn't play them.
Yeah.
But it came back. This doctor, okay, with respect to her for helping out. And it wasn't big-time medicines.
Mm-mm. Although I did take a lot of steroids.
Okay.
And I have still been taking shots, like now 3 times a week I take a shot, Copaxone for the MS. Yeah. Although I hadn't right now, waiting on them. I haven't been taking them for a month.
What, can you feel it?
I can kind of feel it.
Okay.
But I don't know if I can feel it. Because I also I suddenly have this backache thing that I've never had in my life. That's, I guess, called sciatica, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. God,
bless anybody has to deal with this. Cause
this was his leg.
It was his leg.
Yeah, it goes into your leg.
Yes,
yeah, it goes into your leg. Who had it in their leg?
Scott, the guy who was playing drums in the Stooges, Scott Ashton.
Oh, he really?
Sweetheart, but it was intense on him. He had to have a surgery.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he did. It's crazy, the pain.
And, I can imagine. Well, you know, the whole journey of life.
Yeah.
It's intense. But do you think it bears on your music, your songwriting, or in spite of it?
It is in spite of it. I just like to
like to transcend it, or do you write songs about it?
Oh,
because I've been
yeah.
through some sicknesses. I wrote a whole opera about a sickness that almost killed me.
Really? Oh, wow.
Because it was profound. It was about 15 years ago, and super hard on me, and I said, I'm going to get something out of this. I almost died of pneumonia when I was 22.
Wow.
A week later, I didn't even write one verse about it. And then when it comes out, I almost get killed 20 years later from the sickness.
Damn.
Yeah. I write a whole opera.
I like to hear this opera.
Yeah, it's called The Second Man's Middle Stand. Those guys I was playing with you in Orange County was the band.
That's a great band.
Those Longshoremen guys I put together to make that piece. And I used the Divine Comedy from Dante. That was kind of the parallel. So the hell was the sickness.
Yeah.
Healing was the purgatory. And then getting to do the kayak and the bass, that was heaven.
Yeah.
So, kind of bum rushed his story. But I mean,
I still like to hear it.
Like, yeah.
Maybe you
play
it on
the
show.
Yeah, I should give it to you. I'll play it to you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Actually, Petra's all over it. Mm-hmm. She's on all the parts.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, but yeah, life deals you the hand, and you got to play the best you can. Yeah, it's funny because music, too, how you call it playing.
Yeah.
But do you have advice? What about somebody just getting into this? Like, Elliot, you ain't been in this scene that long, right? A little bit.
I mean, I'm 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're an old man.
I've been out of school for like 3 years. Yeah.
Okay. Like, if you were asking somebody advice, like somebody like Elliot was going to ask you advice about this racket here, Victoria, what would you tell him?
Well, I think that I get advice from him because he's doing the modern way, going around places and having grants and going places and writing and doing. Well, I shouldn't speak for you, Elliot. Well.
So you're saying you couldn't give any advice?
I mean, no, I don't know what except for just keep playing.
Well, I just used him for an example because he's here and he's young.
Yeah.
But if somebody was going to ask you about advice, you know, you've had quite a journey, so you think you could give anybody some advice from all that?
I'd say what's worked for me is I've been, good Lord God Almighty, yep, I've been fortunate to have my mama's prayers, and somehow walked me through everything. I just got to have some faith, I think. You got to...
Yeah, that's good advice. You got to have faith.
Yeah.
Somebody praying for you. You got to believe in yourself a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And then, if you pray, I learned this from Johnny Otis, like if you pray about something and you've given it up to God, then you just, whatever happens, you like remember, like, oh, well, I prayed for this, so this must be God's will, you know, whatever happens, because you prayed about it, and so then you feel like, might not seem right then, but then later on it might prove to be, of course, right, I think.
I like that. I want to thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Coming down. Making the hell right. I know you got to make it back now.
Well, I'm going to go out there and maybe see if one of those
peregrines,
if I can find one.
Hey, go hit the beach while you're here.
I'm going to hit the beach and see
right
if I
can. Right over here by the lighthouse.
That's what I'm going to do.
Right at the corner.
I'm heading over there and see if I can find one.
Man, thank you so much for your essentially in the bed.
Pleasure.
It's been August 20th. No, not yet.
29?
July 29th, 2015. Just Walk Peter Show. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.